Enjoy the convenience of 7 days a week banking and extended hours with Cube from First Arkansas Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
That you have with Arkansas, and we were talking about one of the things, just because we brought up Justin Moore, found out that Kenny Chesney's dad taught your kids, right?
Yeah, he worked. My wife was at that elementary school as a teacher too, so she worked with Dave Chesney, and he was a PE teacher in elementary school, and a good guy. And I've been, you know, in that pregame warm-up mode in the bus with Dave and Kenny.
Yes.
Dave and I were the most relaxed guys in there. I don't know why. You
know? the other thing, guys, we were talking about is that I was obviously knew you. You coached Peyton Manning at Tennessee. You coached, obviously, Eli Manning as head coach at Ole Miss. And I was saying, hey, yeah, coach. I said, you know, we brought in Eli Manning last year and Matt Jones because, you know, they had the seven overtime game. And he goes, yeah. And what did you say, coach?
I said, yeah, I was on the sideline. He goes, oh, and then I said, I'm only here because I did not have a pistol in my pocket. Because that night, I would have shot Matt Jones. It was the only way we were going to get him on the ground. Oh, my God.
It was unbelievable, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'll never forget the walk from the game field to the locker room thinking, what do you say to a team when you lose 58-56 in a seven? Because it's unprecedented.
Yeah.
And you don't want to lose next week because you lost that game.
Yes.
And, I mean, my mind was as, and I, it's as vivid as it's happening right now. What do you say? And you know what? I told them the truth. I really don't know what to say to you. You were gallant in your efforts. Put it behind us. That's all I can tell you. You absolutely have to put it behind you. I'm sure in the other locker room, the celebration was amazing,
right?
You know, and it propelled them on to a really good year.
Well, let's flip it around. This is not going to be fun to talk about, but we can say the same thing about 1998. That was the year you won the Broyles Award as the top assistant coach in America, and that was the amazing game at Volunteer Stadium.
Yeah, I'll tell you a great story about that. The youngster that caused the lineman to step on Clint Sterner's foot was from Magnolia, Mississippi. Billy has stayed and lived in Knoxville. What an incredible play. It got lost in the fact that
Clint
just lost the ball. But he not only exploded into the offensive line, caused the trip, he recovered the ball.
I didn't remember that.
Yeah. And people don't talk about it.
Right.
And then another thing you wouldn't know is that I'm lucky I didn't get fired, but Phillip said, hey, we got to hurry up, throw the ball. I said, we're not throwing the ball.
You said that. You said we're going to run it.
We're going to run the football.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it to Travis Henry. I said, get the offense over there. I want them to hear that there will be no passes. We're going straight down the field. We were terrible offensively that day. T. Martin didn't have his best day, and that's my fault. So, thank goodness that offensive line and Travis Henry took charge, and we went down there.
Well, Coach, it's been great having
Houston.
You. I'm kidding.
Listen, I don't blame you. I got a sister and a brother-in-law and a nephew and a niece that live in Little Rock.
Yes.
They take a lot of grief over that whole thing still.
That's Justin Moore that said, hey,
that's
Coach, it's been nice having you.
Write
down
a song about it, okay?
It would make a good sad country song, that's for sure, from my perspective.
You know, hey, listen, Kenny used John Ward in that football song, so
yeah.
I'm waiting on you, man.
That's right.
Well, you
that's
were saying,
right.
I do think, as an old football player, coach, when that fumble happened, and by the way, that was the great Brandon Burlesworth, who was one of the legendary All-Americans. And
an incredible player,
person.
Yeah, we all miss him.
But what's I thought to me, once that happened, you could see the defense. They were such in shell shock that the game should have been over. You guys just came out and just – I mean, you were doing like 6 yards a carry, 8 yards a carry. I mean, you could just see what was happening pretty quick.
Yeah, one of the things going back to Coach Bryant for me, and Coach Majors was good at this, you had to practice sudden change, and it wasn't on a script. So it goes back to what I call the drill is just putting the ball down. It says, surprise your team, put the ball down, create a situation, let's see what you got. And so if you do that well enough in practice, it doesn't catch you in a game. And I learned a little bit of that from Bill Walsh. Bill Walsh would create a third and 18 for an offense to win or lose a game to keep a drive alive. And one of the things he told me, he said, you got to have a small menu that the players know when you call it, it's going to be successful. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting thing, what you just said, that it does attack a team.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to overcome. It is.
And you have to have, obviously you guys won the national championship, and sometimes you got to have those kind of breaks, to happen. And, of course, that was when you were an assistant coach. Are you going to become head coach at Ole Miss and at Duke? And been in the game a long time. You know, I always gave that stat. You know, you were one of our Brewers Award winners that was still in coaching. I mean, you won that thing in 98, and you had a long, really great, successful career. And now you're with the SEC, the SEC office. Talk about what your role is real quick for everybody wondering what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, you would have to wonder. Football relations is a lot of things. It's certainly relationships with coaches, assistant coaches, operations people. I'm really trying to be a good listener.
Mm-hmm.
I've got great relationships going in with all 14 head coaches are friends. And I want them to know I'm an advocate. I'm a conduit. I'm going to think like a coach, not an administrator. I'm an advocate for players. But I'm reminded our staff, we don't just have 14 coaches. We got 140 coaches. We got 10 assistants at every school that need to be heard. And I think assistant coaches that live it day to day. And then I'm kind of asserting myself into the legislative process because I think we need a little bit – see some less of the effects of laws of unintended consequences have hit us hard in college football. Name, image, and likeness is a good thing, but we're not seeing name, image, and likeness. Okay, we're really not. Name, image, and likeness suggests that a player in college earn the opportunity to share a bit of the rewards of creating his name, image, and likeness, and as it is being used, create some value for him.
Mm-hmm.
Great thought. The way it was approached, in my opinion, was lost. And now here we are using it as incentive to choose a school, which is hurting young people. And I'm not afraid of the transfer portal. When I hear a coach whining about the portal, I say, listen, the way you manage the portal is build great relationships with all your players, not just stars. Those stars are in that locker room. We all see teams have scholarship players on a team that maybe the fans don't even know their names. They're important, too. They're a part of your program. They're friends with your stars. Their great practice habits make a difference in your program. So if you build relationships like you should, the portal's going to be a minuscule issue. Players that are selfish, that are leaving a school trying to make more money, I would shake their hand and pat them on the butt going out the door and then say, don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Sure.
But, we can manage this. I think we mean, hey, it's the media, it's the fans, it's the players, it's the coaches, it's the administrators getting a grip of what's best for college athletes, what's best for college football. But we have to see some regulation. It's not under control. And I want to be a part of trying to do that.
You coached two Mannings. Do you think Arch has a chance to be better than both of them?
Well, I would never challenge anybody to be better than Peyton and Eli. He is a talented young man. I was the head coach at Ole Miss when he was born. I sent a courier with scholarship papers to Cooper and Ellie. I did. So, what I've told him, he'll be just fine. Two things, just break it down to simple. And when we've talked, and I've worked with him some when he was younger, always make sure you're having fun playing football. There's not an agenda. You're having fun. You don't select greatness. You have fun playing football, and you work hard. And then secondly is just be a great teammate. If you do those two things, particularly as a high-profile quarterback, you got a chance. And, you know, you're going to get together with a team or a championship team 20 years later down the road. The greatest thing that can be said to a former football player is somebody to walk up and say, "Hey, David, man, you were the best teammate I ever had." You're going to walk away on cloud nine.
Yeah.
And if you really believe that and you live that, then he's going to be just fine. He's got talent. He has got, obviously, great DNA. When I get asked all the time, who's the better player of the man, two Mannings, I said, well, wait a minute, there's three. It's always Archie.
That's right.
Yeah. That's my answer.
Yeah, that's right.
I saw Archie play in college. And
I think you can make the argument he was better than Peyton.
Well, let's
and
just say it. Yeah. You know, okay, they can be mad at me if they want. That's okay. They've been mad at me before. I wasn't so nice maybe correcting them.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, I feel for him, though, because he's had to go through this technology era of seeing his face every time he opened up his phone.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And so I do say a little prayer for him daily in my morning prayers that he does have fun and that he manages this in the right way.
Before we let you go, David Cutcliffe joins us if you just tuned in. And been in the game a long time. I love the fact, guys, Roger and RJ and Justin, I was talking with Coach during the break, and our show is sort of split between two of us older guys that are right at 60 and two of the younger guys in their mid to late 30s. And so we sometimes go old man radio where we start talking about old school stuff, but you were talking about Coach and Johnny Majors and Bobby Dodd, and you were part of that. You were sort of the in-between that you can tell the stories that Johnny Majors told you about what Coach Broyles had been taught and all those kind of things.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, I interviewed for the Arkansas job with Coach
Broyles.
Was an enlightening time for me. I'd never been a head coach. I was an assistant at Tennessee. He called me himself out of the blue and said, "I want to bring you out here and talk about this job." And I had such great respect for the Arkansas program. You know, I saw and remember the Texas-Arkansas battles.
Sure.
I was friends with Coach Royal. And what I will say about, for all you Arkansas folks, what Johnny Majors and others, Frank Broyles' attention to detail, the little things. He wasn't always easy on his assistant coaches, but the details they learned, and then in turn I learned from Coach Majors, it's a difference maker. And he made that program what it was. And I know guys that played for him and the respect they had. And I don't want to see the rich traditions, the old man football talk, because I think players today at Arkansas need to know exactly who Frank Broyles was.
Yeah.
When I say Coach Bryant and people don't even budge, I'm like, "You don't know?"
So, yeah,
young people,
right.
I said, "Come here and let me whip you." You know? But – you know,
you mentioned Wilson Matthews too, who's on the Broyles Award statue as well. Yeah.
And you know, that, by the way, that may be the heaviest statue that
it is.
That's an awesome. It's a prominent place in my home.
Okay. Yeah.
Very prominent. I'm a huge advocate for assistant coaches, particularly that never become a head coach.
Right.
They have no path to a Hall of Fame. They're often forgotten.
Right.
Wilson Matthews is not in my mind, but I love the award. I love the fact that it is the greatest award that an assistant coach can win. And it's like what I said, we got 140 coaches besides head coaches in this league and other leagues to honor. And so I'm really appreciative that you all keep that alive and do it. And it's an important part of college football.
Well, Coach, man, we appreciate you so much. We're gonna try to get you to Little Rock to a touchdown club meeting sometime. And I think it's a when I heard that they had hired you, I thought, man, that is, I didn't know if you would want to do that. I didn't know if you wanted to enjoy retirement and not still, but obviously you still got something to give back to the game.
Yeah, and I hope that I can in some small way have a positive impact. And that's if it's just tiny but positive, that's worth it. It's worth the effort.
Yeah, I think it will be. But Coach, congratulations on an amazing football coaching career. And looking forward to seeing all the things you're going to be doing.
It's going to be fun. Yeah. It's going to be different. I'm sure I'm going to be up and watch a ball game. And I'm going to come up in August and watch practice.
Wonderful.
I don't know how to not be hot. I grew up in Alabama with no air conditioning.
Yeah.
So I know how to be hot in August. So I'm going to stand out at some practice.
I think it's going to be 104 today in Fayetteville.
We'd love to get you on the show down the road again. We'd love to visit with you. Because obviously people in Arkansas are excited about football again. Things are trending in the right direction. And that is so funny, guys, about the difference when, as Coach was talking about the Ole Miss game and about the pain that he was dealing with.
Yeah.
I was thinking, oh, we've been on the other side of the locker room with you on that thing. And it is painful.
Yeah, you know, and that's part of being a competitor is that you're willing to suffer defeat. A great competitor is far from injured or bruised in defeat. You're highly motivated.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I was a bad loser when I was a kid. I threw sticks and rocks. But, you know, I've learned how to take those failures and become a stronger person. So it's just a part of life.
And, you know, David, I think Matt Jones talks more about the loss to Tennessee in six overtimes when Jason
as
opposed to winning the seven overtime games against Ole Miss and Kentucky.
Yeah.
But you got to have the willingness to be in the arena, that old term, the willingness to be in the arena and face defeat is a big part of being an athlete, a coach. And I respect the young men that still carry that flag forward in the game. And looking forward to the 2022 season.
Well, I will say this, Coach. I wouldn't, if I were you, if you walk around the corner back there is a football that's on display. You know what it is?
The Sterner.
No, sorry. No. It's the other one. It's the Arkansas.
Who caught the pass? Andrews, the offensive lineman, standing in the
end zone? No, Jason Peters.
No, that was Jason Peters.
I know who caught it. I'm talking about
Andrews, he was saying it should have been a flag.
Jermaine
Petty's the one, the linebacker that kept your guy out of the end zone.
You sound like Justin Moore there. You know, just remember, listen, that should have been a flag. He should have been able to score.
Hey, you know, it's John McDade wasn't the supervisor of officials then. That was the problem.
Yeah. Well, Coach, I didn't see that ineligible guy downfield. I don't know. I missed that one.
Now, you go back and take a look.
He's going to put that in the song.
Oh, my goodness.
You can put this line in the song. He ain't lying.
All right. David Cutler. Coach, thank you so much.
Thanks, Coach.
Appreciate that.